Of which upcoming event am I speaking when I say that its main theme is love, an event which is typically identified on most printed calendars, and an event which has a emblem or a symbol attached to it which is broadly recognized? If you are assuming that I am speaking about Valentine's Day, well, that would be a perfectly legitimate guess, now just 4 days away. However, there is another event just a few more days away, which also has as its main theme love, which is also typically identified on printed calendars, and which also has a symbol broadly recognized that is attached to it. 1 week from today is Ash Wednesday, the day which initiates the season of Lent, that period of time where the church reviews formally the events of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. Love gets a lot of attention during the month of February. But not all love is the same. There's the emotional, imperfect type of love, which is often felt between human beings. There is also the type of love which God shows to us, that which surpasses all other forms. Situated as we are at the threshold of these two events, Valentine's, with its focus on the love that exists between people, and Ash Wednesday, which focuses on the much greater love which God has for us, we'll be considering this morning some comparisons between the two. Not to put down the type of emotional love that is felt between human beings, but to underscore the supreme greatness of the unique love which the Lord has for every single one of us. The emotional love felt between human beings is often based on externals, on things that can be seen with the eye. And a strong sense of affection or love that is based on externals, of course, is based on something very feeble. Because, for one thing, what a person looks like today is certainly not what a person will look like a few years hence or beyond. By contrast, the Lord looks at much deeper things. He peers into the depths of the heart. It was in connection with Israel's selection of its king that God told Samuel, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord knows us inside and out, and the fact that he knows what dwells in our hearts by nature makes the nature of his love all the more remarkable. For when he looks into the natural human heart, he finds there absolutely nothing inherently lovable or attractive to a holy and righteous God. That's because we were all born with the old Adam, which is offensive and completely unappealing to a holy God. And it's not just that our natural human heart fails to love God, it actively hates God. And how likely is it that one human being would feel any kind of strong affection for another human being who openly hates him or her? The emotional love which humans feel for one another lives on, it feeds on, it expects some sense of mutual affection. If one person were to learn that the other individual absolutely hates him or her, it'd be very difficult for love to survive if it could exist at all. But God's amazing love loves even when it's hated. "For when we were still without strength," Paul wrote, "in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a man, a righteous man, will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Even when hated, God's deep love continued to love the world, a love that does not scrimp. The emotional love that often exists between two human beings is often has as its overriding concern what's in it for oneself. Even when one person is thinking about what might be beneficial for the other individual in a relationship, it's all too natural to place the greater emphasis on what we might get out of the situation. How different, again, the love of God. His Son is his dearest treasure, the one in whom his Spirit delights. And yet, God's love for us is such that he willingly sacrificed his Son for us. And as a result, we can be confident that he will continue to give us whatever is truly needed. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then there's the element of reliability and consistency. The emotional love, which tends to exist between two human beings, is not consistent. It's not steady. How often are our emotions toward another human being exactly the same as they were yesterday or even the previous hour? Our fault-filled condition results in greatly fluctuating emotions. Not so with God. His love, remarkably, remains consistently deep and strong. It's not as though God's love peaked for us at the time of the cross when Jesus went to Calvary and has then kind of dissipated as the centuries have worn on. The height of Jesus' love was in place in eternity when our salvation was designed. It was on full display when he went to the cross, and it's just as strong today as it was back then. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord declares, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." God, after all, is love, the Bible says. And as God does not diminish, neither does his love. As God does not fail, neither does his love. As God is unchanging, so is his love. The emotional love which humans feel for humans, it's a generally fine thing and adds a lot of pleasure and joy to the living of earthly life, but it's nothing compared to the love which God has for us, a love which is consistent, deep, centered on what's exclusively beneficial for the other person, and even sacrificial. This greater love deserves greater attention, which is why we double the worship services in the season of Lent, starting next week on Ash Wednesday. Oh, and one more thing about the Lord's unique love. He doesn't keep it to himself. His love creates, generates, inspires, and teaches our hearts to love in a manner more similar to his own. Having saved us by his grace, he now directs us to learn to love in similar fashion. As we approach the season of Lent, therefore, and move beyond, may the Spirit enable us to learn about our Savior's love and to love in turn. A hymn which speaks of his great love for us is hymn 760. We'll be singing stanzas 1 and 4. 760, 1 and 4.